Just now we have read from Isaiah chapter 40, and let us turn to that, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31, and that's a text for our message. Waiting upon the Lord. Every day we all wait. We all wait for spouses to get ready. We all wait for our salary when we work. Sometimes you see that people even wait and queue up, and like in Singapore, oh, they love to queue up if there's something probably sounded good. And we see in Jollibee, people don't mind waiting. Wait and wait and wait. But sometimes in our lives, we have sorrow and we have weakness while we are waiting. And what might that be? Sometimes people do wait for a long time for a life partner. Sometimes a married couple may wait for a long time for a child. Sometimes when the marriage is on the rocks, and a hurting marriage, and you feel trapped, and that is a long wait for you to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes when you have an illness and you've seen the doctor and you've done all that you could and it's just not getting better, and that waiting and waiting seems to be quite paralyzing. And in this portion of Isaiah, why did Isaiah write in these verses of 27 to 31? Basically, God used the prophet Isaiah to give words of comfort to the people of God. And how do we know it is words of comfort? Because in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, it's a comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And it is in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, it sets the tone. This will be a chapter of comfort. Why comfort? At the time when Isaiah was written, it was already something happened. And what is that? The northern kingdom of Israel was already taken, captured, exiled to the Assyrians. And something will happen to the southern kingdom of Judah. And what is that? They will be exiled, captured, tortured by the Babylonians. And they're going to be there for a long time. They're going to be there for 70 long years. They're going to wait and wait and wait for the salvation of God. One day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, 70 years. It's going to be a long, long wait. And this kind of long wait for the people of God, it is almost impossible. And that is why God spoke the word and through the prophet Isaiah to give them comfort, comfort all the people, because there will be a lot of waiting coming into the lives of the people. And waiting itself caused them a lot of weariness, tiredness, losing of strength. But before we go on into this portion of the scripture, I'd like to read to you another portion from Isaiah also to set the context of who our God is and why is he doing the things that he's doing in our lives and the things that he's doing in the lives of the people of God. And I take this from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. If we can flesh out the verses of this, and we bear this in mind, that is Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So before we even venture to go in to say that, God, why did you let me wait for so long? Why do I have to go through my life and suffering in this manner? Bear in mind, who are we to question God? Who are we to think that we know better? Who are we to think that we can fix the situation by ourselves? Bear in mind throughout this message that God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." God is omniscient. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the entire life that we are going through. He knows what is going to happen to us tomorrow. He knows what is going to happen to us in 1 year's time. So God says in his word through Isaiah, "Comfort, comfort ye my people." And there is another principle that we need to understand. And this principle, we all know it too well. And that is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And for that, we can already memorize and speak it from memory. Romans 8, 28. Let us all read this off from memory. Ready, go. "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Wow. "And we know that all things work together for good." And Pastor Paul has taught us from God's word, and it must still ring very clearly in our mind, that when God says that all things work together, it is like a carpet weaver sewing the carpet with all its threads, all the threads of different colors, whether it is blue, red, green, white, and so on. And when we are threaded, it doesn't seem to make any sense. When it is threaded, we cannot see the purpose. But we know that all things work together. The tapestry that is woven in the carpet, and you turn it around and you see a beautiful picture. And then we realize why we were the yellow thread. Why we were the red thread. Why were we intertwined in this way and that way? And that gives a picture. So before we go into this topic on wait upon the Lord, realize that God's ways are higher, much higher, infinitely higher than our ways. Who are we to question God? He is the potter. We are the clay. And not only that, he did it with love. And we know that all things work together for good. It is for our good. It is for God's purpose. It is for God's name to be glorified and magnified. And to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let us now jump back to Isaiah chapter 40. And in this time, the prophet Isaiah is reminding the people, because the people will be going through very difficult moments. And what kind of moments? Suffering. It will be a suffering that will be for a long time. It is the agony of waiting. There is uncertainty. You just do not know what is going to come next. And because that uncertainty, and in the suffering, and it is for a long time, and you just look at your watch, it never ends. One day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year passed by, and you're still suffering. And do you know what will cause a person to feel by that time? The person will feel scared. The person will feel frightened, afraid, despondent, anxious. Will this go on forever? Will my suffering go on forever? Does anybody even understand? Does anybody even help? And no one seems to be able to help. And it is in this kind of long-term suffering that waiting is no longer waiting at Jollibee. And that kind of waiting is not the waiting at Cafe MM or Inasal, waiting for a pot of your favorite food. No, it is a waiting that says, God, why so long? It's so long, God. I don't think I can take it anymore. It is like in a horrible pit. It is like a person who has been sunk into a miry clay, a quicksand, in a mud. And in that quicksand, the more he struggles, the more he tries to help himself, the more he sinks. And then when his feet was trying to look for the bottom, sense for the bottom so that he can stand, he could not find the bottom. It just go on. And bottomless, drowning. And it caused panic. It caused desperation. And that kind of situation will also be the comfort that God's word will give to each one of us. And when that helplessness sunk into physical weakness, it sunk into emotional draining situation, and spiritually, we might backslide. Spiritually, we might say that, what is the point? It is so difficult to go through. Weary, tired, so tired, sleepless. Even the sleep has gone away from us. And tried always, but failed. And the moment we close our eyes, the thoughts come. The moment we close our eyes, we find that that problem comes. And we have no solution. And we try to fix it. And the more we try, sleep just passes by. And sleep just flown away. And then we become faint. And what kind of difficulties and anxieties that we go through, even as the people of God go through. They were in captivity. They will be in captivity for such a long time. And so that kind of waiting and waiting upon the Lord, God Almighty, seems to be so draining. But in our lives, in each one of us, we have different situations, different challenges. Let us take, for example, relationship. Relationship is a time which, as if we're trying to patch up with the other person. And we cannot control the other person. And the more we cannot control the other person, the more we can't change the other person, the more we feel frustrated. And the more that suffering comes on, and the more we find that it is so tiring. That relationship with family, with spouses, parents with children, and with loved ones, relationship with friends. Have you ever been played out by your friends? Have you ever been played out by your best friends? Or have you have difficulty in certain relationship pertaining to your friends that just cannot solve? Work. Has your employer being very stern, very harsh to you? And are your people that you're working with, your fellow laborers, fellow co-workers, you find that they are reaching out and they are getting promotion, but you're not, and you're left behind. And you find that, should I fix it? And should I go on other ways to get that promotion? Illness. Helplessness in illness, in the medicine that we take. And it seems that all those medicine can only help to a certain degree, and sometimes it does not get help. And sometimes it is prolonged, and sometimes they have a lot of side effects. Prince William in UK. Prince William has started that movement of mental health awareness. And he realized that there are a lot of people that are suffering from mental health. It may be depression, it may be autism, it may be Asperger, it may be so many different kinds. It's mental health. And sometimes a person going through mental health, just having a long time, and still could not be healed. And that is an agony in waiting. And students in studies, your exams, and the results, and your career, what goes and what lies ahead, a lot of question mark. And there's another distress that is going on amongst many people in the world. The Economist magazine has run a survey, and they find that the survey is not accurate enough, and therefore they went on case studies, and they went to speak to people, and they realized there is one particular, whether you call it an illness, it's not even described as an illness, but it is very draining on many people, and that situation is called loneliness. And people in the city, many people are lonely. They may be in a crowd. They may be in Orchard Road. They may feel lonely. Why do they feel lonely? Because at the end of the day, they just could not fit in. At the end of the day, they find that they could not be understood. And there was a person who was in a marital problem, and so was asked, what does loneliness feel like? Is it like being surrounded by a dark void that you have no way of crossing? And then the Economist journalist asked a person with mental health issue, what does that feel like? He said, it feels like a dark cloud. You don't want anyone to see you. And so you get lonelier and lonelier. And it's a vicious circle. And then there was an old person, and this old person was in the house and asking this old person, what does it mean? He said, loneliness is not having somebody to do nothing with. He hasn't been out of his front door except to the hospital for 2 years now, and he keeps his television permanently on for a company. And he said, many people in this world are going through this kind of loneliness. So they say, what does it mean to you? He said, a lot of time, I'm not really watching the TV. I just keep it on. But then something interesting comes on. And I said, honey, look at that. And I turn around, and there's nobody there. It's lonely. And this loneliness can creep in to many people without even being diagnosed as an illness. So here in Isaiah chapter 40, God knows that his people will be going through a tough time. And so what did he say in verse 27? Because the people come to a point whereby they are impatient. And they begin to ask. And they begin to say, my way is hid from the Lord. And my judgment is passed over from my God. God does not know. God doesn't seem to be aware. It's been so long, God. It's been so long. It's very tiring. And I have no more strength. And I'm fainting. God, my way is hid from you. Do you even care? Do you even know? Do you even understand what I'm going through? That's what the feelings of the people. And God knows that the people will feel that way. And that's why in Isaiah, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah and asking that very question whereby the people would be asking either audibly or from their hearts. And in verse 28, God gave the answer. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. God is aware. God is aware what each and every one of us are going through. I do not know what you are going through. Even right now, as you are seated here and listening to the message, may the Holy Spirit comfort your heart. God knows exactly what you are going through. And God said, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he created the whole universe. He created the heavens and the earth. He created you and me. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. There is no searching of his understanding. He is aware. Then you said that, why, God? If you are aware, why don't you help me? And verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And he even go on further to say that in verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Young people are supposed to be energetic. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So God says that he's aware. He's aware of your situation. He's aware of your problems, your suffering, your anxiety, your desperation. He is able to help. He is able. But in verse 31, he used the word but. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What does that mean? But they that wait upon the Lord, you say that I'm already suffering. I'm already so weak. And I certainly cannot run. I'm weary. I certainly cannot walk and I'm faint. And what does the word faint there mean? The word faint there literally means like a flat tire. You look like a tire. You're flat. Just no more energy. No more wind. No more air inside that tire. Yeah, you may still look like one tire. But when the car is weighted on that tire and move on, not only is it wobbly, it just cannot move. Faint. Are you a flat tire? The people of Israel felt that they were like a flat tire. No more strength. And then God said that, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God knows that they are weak. God knows that you are weak. God knows that you need encouragement in whatever situation that you may be in. So, what does the word wait there mean? It is important to understand, but they that wait upon the Lord. If you were to ask a couple who is childless, and later we'll see as an example of Abraham and Sarah, and to wait and wait and wait for a child, I can tell you, it is tiring. And it is also hurting. And God says that he knows. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He knows. And he knows our every emotion. He knows our every suffering and anxiety. So he said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So let us look. Wait is a journey. And we all know that waiting is a journey because the thing that we are waiting for has not come. It has not arrived. But God says that they that wait on the Lord, in that waiting, we already get the strength. Wow, how does that work? So waiting here, the waiting time is not a wasted time. The waiting time is a time that God will nurture and mold us to be more Christ-like. So waiting here has got two sense of the word. The first aspect and first sense of this waiting is having that quiet confidence in the Lord, in that expectancy in the Lord, and that confidence and faith and hope and knowing that God will take care, and God, I will commit everything to you, and therefore I don't have to worry. Because even if I worry, I can't do anything about it. I cannot change that person. I cannot control their circumstances. I cannot even explain the problem. But God, you can. And I wait confidently, quietly, expectantly on God. And that process of waiting, that process of becoming what God wants us to be. And so that waiting is that having hope in the Lord, having that standing on the promises that God says that for all things work together for good. Remember in Romans 8:28, which we mentioned just now. And so that is one aspect of waiting. And in that waiting, when we understand and know who God is, God wants us to make us more Christ-like. There is another sense of this waiting. And what is that? It is very active. And that waiting is very active. I just happen to have a string here. And if you were to see a string, and it is a very thin string, and that thin string is like us. We cannot lift up that heavy thing. And when we try to lift up a heavy thing, that string snaps. And we feel discouraged. And we feel despondent. Our string snaps. It breaks. No strength to carry it. When this word, wait, in this text here that we are reading, has a sense of this string of ours is intertwined into God's strength, and instead of a string, it becomes a powerful rope, and that rope will lift up whatever that is so heavy that our string cannot bring up. But when it becomes a rope, it can pull out and it can overcome and it will have the strength, and that strength will be renewed. So you see here when Isaiah say that, but they that wait upon the Lord is not only with that understanding and with a faith that, yes, God, I will surrender to you, but also in an active way, with the means of grace that God has given to us, that our string is intertwined with God's mighty power. And how can we do that? In active prayer. In prayer. And we have all learned that prayer does not change God. Prayer changes us. Prayer changes us to conform to God's will. And that string in prayer and in the application of His truth in Bible study, in worship, in fellowship with God's people, that active waiting, our string, our single, very, very inadequate string is intertwined with God's powerful might. And it becomes a huge, powerful rope. And no wonder God says that, wait upon the Lord. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that's how our strength can be renewed. And what else did God say? He said that, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. It is not in any bird, but as eagles. Why eagles? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. God created eagles. God knows how the eagles fly. And when the eagles flap its wing, the eagle doesn't flap like a hummingbird. It doesn't flap like this. And the eagle, many a time, only have to flap its wings once, and it will soar. It will soar with wings like eagles. Why? Because underneath that eagle's wings, it's that warm air that pushes eagle to soar. And no other birds soar like the eagles. And God says that you look at the eagle, that's one of my creation. When you are weak, when you are without strength, not only do you think that you are like the string that will be intertwined with God's might like a rope, but you will also be like the eagle. And the wind beneath that eagle's wings, and you will soar like eagle. And then God says that they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And you will not be a flat tire. You'll be strong. So if we were to see an example of the result of this waiting, some of us, while waiting, we can take over and say that, God, I want to do it my way. My little string. Yes, I think that my string can do it. And I shall try it. I shall fix it. Because while waiting for you, it is just so long and I cannot take it anymore. And the more you fix it, the worse it becomes. Let's take, for example, Abraham and Sarah. In Abraham and Sarah, and we see that in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. And I shall just read to you Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. This was a time that God already promised Abraham and promised that he will have a child and that he will have a seed. But it has been waiting and waiting and is waiting for a long time. And so in verse 1 of chapter 16, Sarah took things into her own hands. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. The rest of the story we know. Ishmael was born. That was not God's plan for Abram. It was Sarai thinking that I can fix it. I think I know my way better. It's been waiting for a long time, and it's been 10 years since we're in Canaan. And it's been a long time. I cannot wait anymore. And so she tried to fix it. Now people, when we try to fix it in our own ways, and it's not according to God's plan and will, we'll just cause disaster. And that disaster happened even until today, whereby the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac and keeps on fighting. And no peace in the Middle East until today. But when they wait upon the Lord, and that is in chapter 17 and verses 15 to 19, when they wait upon the Lord, God will renew their strength. Even though Abraham may be 100 years old, Sarah may be 90 years old, God will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And verse 15 of Genesis chapter 17. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, Thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And verse 16, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her that is of Sarah. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, not through Hagar, but through Sarai. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him, and for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. When Abraham and Sarah waited upon the Lord, God's timing is the best. Yes, it's been a long time of waiting, for Abraham has been waiting for almost 24 years, and it is at the old age of when they were 100, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, but God's timing is the best. God says, wait upon him, and he will renew the strength. So God will enable, and God will manifest his will in his time. And we can also see that there was a person who was willing to wait. And who is the other person who was willing to wait? It's Joseph. And Joseph, when he was captured by, or sold, enslaved, and sold by his brother to Egypt, he was 17 years old. He was only 17, a young child, a young teenager. And he worked in Potiphar's house for 11 years. It's a long wait. And waiting, do not know what it is in the future. He doesn't know the future. And when he was 28 years old, Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce Joseph. And of course, Joseph did not give him. Joseph fled. He ran away. And he was framed. He was imprisoned. And in the prison, 2 years. And he was forgotten. And even though he was forgotten by people, God did not forget him. And until when he was 30 years of age, Joseph waited upon the Lord all these years, for almost 13 years in Egypt. Joseph received the direction of God. And how? And while he was waiting, he was bearing a good testimony. He was being the best servant in Potiphar's house and the best prisoner even in the prison. And God showed to Joseph, after all the trials, after all the guidance and waiting upon the Lord, Joseph's strength will be renewed. He shall mount up with wings as eagles. He became the second in charge after Pharaoh. And what a good testimony. What a marvelous thing that Joseph did in waiting upon the Lord. So you and I can also emulate the example of Joseph waiting. There was another family that was waiting and waiting upon the Lord Jesus Christ and felt disappointed and frustrated. And I'd like you to turn to John chapter 11. And John chapter 11, and I shall read to you from verses 1 to 6. And this was a time, a very, very difficult time for the family of Mary and Martha to wait. In John chapter 11, verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. The Lord Jesus Christ did not go immediately. He waited. And he made Martha and Mary wait. And look at verse 21 of that same chapter. And we can flash to 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. It is almost like blaming God. God, Lord Jesus, why did you come so slow? Why did you make us wait? My brother had died by the time you come. And that was Martha. And we thought that probably Martha would say such a thing like that. What about the wonderful Mary? And verse 32. Mary said that too. And then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. This is a cry of disappointment. Of God, why did you allow us to wait for so long? My brother had died. And in from verse 32 to 44, and we read this account. And verse 33. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. You see, Jesus understands. Jesus is aware. Our Lord Jesus Christ understands what we are going through, just as he understood what is going through in the family of Mary and Martha. Jesus wept. Then verse 36, Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. God, Lord, why did you wait so long? Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Verse 41, Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that that hour that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he has thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Wait upon the Lord. God has his own timing, his own will for his own glory. And Lazarus resurrected. And so in conclusion, we see that when the people of God are going through times of uncertainties, when they are going through a time when they have felt like they were like flat tires, they were so weak and they just could not go on anymore. And that is a time that God will comfort. And what is God's comfort? But they that wait upon the Lord, not only the understanding and having a faith in God, with that quiet confidence in God, but also the active waiting that is continued in much prayer, in much reading of God's word, in much application of God's word in our lives, that our string will become a rope that is strengthened by God, that our strength will be renewed, and that our strength will be able to mount up with wings as eagles. Some of us may not be able to change another person and may not be able to help another person. And I can tell you that I am also in this situation of waiting. Are you? It is a time that I could not control. I could not change the situation. I could only wait and wait and wait for the deliverance of God. And even as I prepared this message, the Holy Spirit applies to my own life. And may it apply to your life too. And the thing also is that even though God is able to give strength, but at the end of the day, all those people who receive the strength one day will die, because the wages of sin is death. And Lazarus, though he resurrected, he has also died. And so my plea with you here this morning, for those who have believed in the Lord, embrace this truth. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For those who have not believed, my plea is come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The everlasting life with God, the everlasting life in heaven to be with God, and not the life forever in hellfire. And if you are such a person, I plead with you, come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, you know our situation. You are aware of what we are going through. And we know that you are able to help. Lord, while we are waiting for that deliverance, while we are waiting for the end of the tunnel, Lord, help us to have confidence and faith in you, knowing that all things work together for good, including for good to us, to all of us here who love you, who are called according to thy purpose. And we acknowledge that your ways are higher than our ways. We do not want to end up like Sarah, fixing the things by ourselves which cause more disaster. We want to be like Joseph, waiting upon thee. But Lord, help us not to be disappointed like Martha and Mary, but let us know and for sure with that faith that thou hast given to us, that as we wait for thee, this active waiting, that our weak string will be intertwined with thy might to become that rope that will renew our strength. Oh God, help us to wait for thee in the way that thou wouldst want us to, that in the waiting our time is not wasted, and in that waiting we become more Christ-like. Help us, Lord, through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord, we pray. Amen.